What up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Nerd Gym Report. I'm your host, Pablo, and joining me, as always, is Mr. Brian Schultz. Brian, it's no longer speculation. We were going to do a show about this, and we didn't actually think they'd do it, Brian, because it would just scream desperation is the word that most people are talking about right now. That is the word of the day.
Got it.
And there were some announcements, obviously, San Diego Comic-Con, Kevin Feige on the road, and the gang. Some announcements that people were waiting for. This was obviously sort of a shock, but I haven't been keeping up. Brian has been keeping up with the updates on what's been announced, what hasn't been announced, what people were expecting, what hasn't happened. What won't happen, I guess. So, Brian, could you go down the list of things that were announced?
Look, let's not bury the lead. Let's talk about Avengers and then go in reverse, because I don't know if anything else really matters. Then we can get to that, because a lot of the unclear, uncertainty, chaos stuff around the schedule, I don't think any of that got resolved. So we'll talk about that, because that's interesting. But let's talk about the big news. So we get official confirmation. Joe and Anthony Russo are back. They are the directors of Avengers 5 and 6. Avengers 5 has been retitled Doomsday. So that should tell you all you need to know. So what was Kang Dynasty is now Doomsday. And then they had kind of the disciples of Doom in a bunch of hoods, brown robes and hoods on stage. And out came Doom and sort of his green getup and mask, and the actor pulls off the mask, and it's Robert Downey Jr. saying, "New mask, same task." Officially back, but now back as the villain for Avengers 5 and 6. So yeah, let's deal with it. Let's deal with all the ramifications.
Okay. If it's a variant of Tony Stark that is a Doom, your feelings towards that possibility?
Weirdly, I probably like it a little bit more, because it kind of leaves the true Doom on the table.
You and I agree.
But it also precludes the real Doom from appearing, I feel like, in the near term. Just because the shadow of RDJ is so big. And so his portrayal, however he takes this, right? Academy Award winner Robert Downey Jr., right? However he takes this is a huge deal and is going to be viewed as a standard of sorts. However, maybe he has it in him because he's a brilliant actor, but he does not embody the Victor Von Doom that I envision. So I think that's a huge question. But I do like it a little bit more, and I think it actually becomes a little bit more of an obvious, desperate commercial play if he's a variant of Tony Stark than if he's Victor Von Doom.
Because Victor Von Doom, I think I'm completely out if it was that. If it was that, Brian, I'm going in there with skepticism. Quite frankly,
I'm going in with skepticism regardless, but
certainly. But the fact that is, if it's Victor Von Doom, I'm going there not in it at all. Because it's like, really, yo? Him? And it's like, you can't get a real. You mentioned it before, Brian. I think it's brilliant.
I also told you when Kevin said that on the podcast, he had signed somebody big from the OGs already. Mm-hmm. And it's him. This is it. He clearly said the Hugh Jackman Wolverine template. This is it. Like, they're going to keep doing this. I don't think what Chris Evans, spoiler alert, I don't think what Chris Evans did just this past weekend is the only thing where he's going to be doing in his comeback.
Certainly not.
So I think you just start right now. Chris Hemsworth, Tom Hiddleston, Scarlett Johansson, Jeremy Renner. Just go down the list of every, you know, Avenger major actor that we've had and just start going through, like, who else are they going to play? Because they're all going to come back as some variant of themselves or another character, whether we like it or not. If Star Wars couldn't grow past the Skywalker characters, Marvel might be showing that they either don't want to or don't believe they can grow past the original iteration of actors that they used to bring this universe to life.
I think they're under the impression or the illusion or the frustration of feeling that they have no choice but to go back to the OGs because they know that what they got right now ain't gonna cut it, Brian. That is the reality. The OGs have to come back. Now, having RDJ come back, Brian, and I hope that show that we did, Road to RDJ, gets a little bit of more traction as to what we thought.
Yeah, you have a show literally titled Road to RDJ. We talk about with this on the podcast, where he drops on the podcast, and here we are a couple weeks later, RDJ is officially back in a new capacity.
My approach, or some would say many people's approach who have thought about introducing Doom, and I've mentioned it before, Brian, on the show, and I think I sent you a link, Brian. I don't know if you ever had a chance to look at it. Is the Books of Doom, where he simply is being interviewed. He's being interviewed, and he's telling his life story. And it's a great read, and it's a series. And I thought that would have been an appropriate way to introduce Doom so that when we get to a Doom movie, we know who this guy is, what he's about, how slick he is, and all the things that make Doom, Doom. So when he meets the Fantastic Four, his defeat is like Doom is just not that easily defeated. He's the guy that just keeps on coming, and he's not a one-and-done dude. He's a Thanos-level dude, Brian. And this right here is just a show.
Yeah, this is the Deadpool and Wolverine playbook. On the one hand, I don't totally blame the studio. Like, they are seeing their cash cow dry up before their very eyes. They are desperate. Mm-hmm, I don't care what they say publicly. They are desperate. They are losing money on projects.
And just got to make more than $1 billion.
And the thing is, if they can't cut the budgets dramatically, the movies have to do well. Now, Deadpool and Wolverine has delivered. Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman gave them an event. To put in perspective, the pressure that was involved there, and it leads back to this discussion. Remember, Deadpool 1 is a $50 million budgeted movie that made $730 million. There's a lot less pressure when your budget is $50 million than the reported $250 million that Deadpool and Wolverine carried for its budget. So yes, that movie now looks like it's probably going to get to $1 billion. But guess what? It kind of had to get there, or pretty darn close, for the project to be profitable. They don't want to cut budgets on Avengers movies. They'll cut budgets elsewhere. We know they cut it for Blade. They're going to cut, or if they ever make it. But Avengers movies, they want to spend, you know? Yeah. And signing the Russos is sort of a concession to, we're willing to spend. I don't think the Russos would have come back, if, you know, especially not the way they spent on other projects. I don't think they would have come back for a $100 million Avengers movie. So they're going to put $300 million a piece in those movies, probably, which means those movies have to be. $1.2 billion, $1.5 billion, $2 billion. That's
the range.
And the reality is, when you announce Russo Brothers back, RDJ back, I can't quantify for you what that means, especially in terms of opening weekend box, but it's not small. Like, if I'm being honest, it's probably what, $200, $300 million they probably just automatically added to each movie because RDJ is headlining as the villain. But to your point, creatively, storytelling wise, long term, does it make you feel better? I don't think it should. Does it make you feel more excited or feel like you have to be there opening weekend for Avengers 5 and 6? Yes, it does. And that's all I think they're after right now. That's it.
But yeah, do it in a way that's... Listen, I'm not saying my way is the right way. I'm just saying my way is a better way.
Yeah. I think there's some evidence, though, whether your story is the story they use. And Fantastic Four was featured in this Hall H Comic-Con panel. So we'll get to that in a second. I continue to think the breadcrumbs are pointing to whatever universe the Fantastic Four are in, that's the one of the future. And this announcement makes me feel more so, in the sense that if this is a variant, an evil variant of Tony Stark acting as Dr. Doom, and Secret Wars leads to the annihilation and reset of the MCU, that kind of lines up. Because RDJ is not going to play Dr. Doom, I don't think, for another 12 years.
No.
Right? So he's doing two films to help his boys out and make another massive chunk of cash, which probably to me is evidence he's not playing Victor Von Doom, because I don't think Kevin Feige is stupid enough to use up Victor Von Doom in one like two-part movie.
Absolutely not. If he does, then I'm
he should be fired. He should be fired. If that's true, he should be fired.
And I want to reiterate my way. Again, if you saw the RDJ, Road to RDJ video, my approach is simply this, Brian. If you see the evolution of Tony Stark throughout the films, every major event that happens, there's a change. By Iron Man 3, he has anxiety, he has PTSD. By the beginning of Endgame, he is secluded, away from everything, Brian.
Yep.
And remember, in Iron Man 3, he wasn't the one in the Iron Man suit saving all those people. He was doing it remote.
Yep.
And again, he was the first person to say life model B Corp. That would have been his answer for, I said, I'm done, right?
Yeah.
And the only person that would know would be probably Happy or Tone, Pepper. That's it. That would be the approach. But they're going this route, and I know, I'm just not cool with it, but we'll see, Brian.
So all I can say is we'll see. Yeah. So when he says new mask, same task, this is how he says, I like playing complicated characters, was his other quote.
I know where you're going, but go ahead.
So this is my question, really, that I think is the one I would watch. When Iron Man 1 came out, and RDJ on his comeback tour delivers the defining iteration of Tony Stark. The shtick, the style, the charisma, the improvisational dialogue. When that movie became the hit that it became, the entire rhythm, tone, and style of the MCU flowed from his personality, if we're being honest.
Yeah.
If you think about it, the through line to every single Marvel movie is really the personality of Robert Downey Jr. It's that, you know, quick one-liners, a little bit of humor, a lot of style, a lot of panache, right?
Yeah.
That they built the entire cinematic universe on the back of his portrayal. When he says new mask, same task, that's the standard that I hold him to. And if he pulls it off, he should actually probably win another Academy Award, even though he'll never nominate him for it. But what I mean by that is, Marvel needs a tonal shift. They absolutely do. The same thing is not getting people to the box office anymore.
Yeah.
If he pulls this off, even if it's as Tony Stark from Universe, whatever, what I want to see, I don't want to see any resemblance to 616 Tony Stark. I want to see Robert Downey Jr. in his Academy Award winning bag, doing something entirely different tonally, in terms of dialogue, in terms of mannerism. And if he pulls that off, my expectation would be that the MCU might again pivot toward whatever style he imparts in the role. And I wonder if that's why. You know, so if I'm making a case for, that's the case for, from a creative standpoint, bringing the actor back.
That wasn't what I thought you were going to say, but this is what I think might happen. And all you said is true. I agree. But I think the approach is, what if he actually succeeded? Because think about Ultron, what he was trying to do there. What if he actually succeeded? And he's the one in that universe that has accomplished that task of putting a shield around the world, or whatever the case may be, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's playing. That's what I mean. Same different mass, same task. That's what it points my mind towards, what he wanted to accomplish, and perhaps in this universe he does.
I think it's a great point. I mean, in effect, they're riffing on Loki, right? This is the, we're going to pick a point in the timeline that you're familiar with, mm-hmm. and then this other part of the multiverse, that Tony Stark took the fork in the road the other direction, yeah. right? And whereas Loki was redeemed in his TV show, this Tony Stark fell from grace into supervillainy.
Has there been a comic where Tony Stark has played Doom?
Good question. I don't know the answer. We know there's evil Tony Stark, but
I gotta ask Tracy.
We know there's evil Tony Stark. That was the one that Tom Cruise was rumored to be. They were, remember where they were talking about cameos for him?
Yeah.
There was that version of Iron Man in that was supposed to be in Doctor Strange 2 that was the evil version. But as Doom, I don't in the classic green costume. I'm not familiar with that.
I'm asking him now.
But I mean, response. let's step back and go through the creative, the realistic commercial version of how we got here. Because I think we know how we got here. This conversation with Downey, we know has been going on for over a year because of comments.
Tracy said no, of course,
because of comments he's made, and he's been holding out.
Certainly.
For
this wasn't a blade. This wasn't Mahershala Ali calling Kevin.
No. This was them going. This was more like the Avengers in Endgame, to your point, going to the cabin. Except they went to the cabin like 12 times. And they're like, this time we have an 18-wheeler full of cash. Next time it's like this, next time we got the helicarrier full of cash. Until finally they probably, and he probably said no to all of it. Until they finally said, almost like in the Gladiator 2 trailer, when Denzel asked Paul Mescal, what could I give you that would satisfy? And he probably said, another character. What about, I bet it was his idea. That's what it feels like to me. It feels like an actor who understands the mythos, who is like, you know what would be fun for me to do? For me to do? How about Doom? And they said yes. That's what it feels like to be. And then you got the studio higher ups looking at their box office, looking at all the struggles Disney's having and saying,
of course,
we need this guy. So whatever it takes, like, you know.
Because they know his involvement will bring box office returns.
But a year ago, 18 months ago, they didn't have that same sense of desperation, right? They had Guardians. No. They still would think Wakanda Forever. They're like, we're fine. We're one movie away. Everyone's going to come back. We're good. And then as things continue to spiral.
His chatter has gone more and more negative.
Yeah.
And they can't afford that, right? Because Disney Plus is based on that. And if we lose MCU fans, what the hell is Disney Plus for? Star Wars?
That's looking more like it is. And bad Star Wars at that.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's like they can't afford to mess this up, but they're not starting off the right foot with, I think, MCU fans. And get MCU fans. It goes because those are dwindling. I'm talking about Marvel fans. Those are the ones that know. Like I just asked Tracy, has Tony Stark ever been Doom in the comics? He said no. Never.
Yep.
He says that's an MCU thing.
Yep. But that's what I'm saying. I think it's Downey. He's like, this is it. Take it or leave it. He's like, you can leave the cash, but leave me the role. And they were desperate enough to say yes. I mean, this entire thing, Russo, Stark. And by the way, Chris Evans is 1,000% going to be in Secret Wars.
Oh, yeah.
Why? Because you know what Disney's going to, they're going to want to see some of those original actors fighting Robert Downey. They're going to bet on the emotional weight of last time you saw him sacrifice himself to save all these same actors. This time they're going to have to kill him.
So,
yeah. Which means Robert Downey's on the text chain because they
sent the text chain. If it's Wolverine going behind.
Hugh Jackman's in the movie. We know that. But that's what I mean. They're on the text chain, and he's basically like, listen. He's like, don't say yes to the first offer. Don't say yes to the fifth offer. He's like, you make them give you this. You make them give you that. I mean, these guys are going to be getting back end on this movie like there's no tomorrow.
All of them.
And Disney will do it. Because even if the margin's really thin, they just want it to they want it to be spectacle.
In order to...
But will it be
spread classic? Into other stuff?
Will it what be it what? Classic? I don't think so. Deadpool Wolverine is spectacle. Great spectacle. It is not classic. And I think it'll be the same with Avengers 5.
But people are out there, Brian, like this movie is like...
But it became must-see. They did it.
Yes,
they
made it must-see. It is must-see.
But it will fade. It will disappear. Endgame lasts. You know, Infinity War lasts. Avengers 1 lasts. You know, Ultron disappeared. Ultron faded, right? It's going to be more like that, I think, ultimately.
But when I see Ultron and I rewatch it, I really did. There were some really good moments in that, but whatever.
Yeah.
What else, Brian?
I don't know. You want to make another show of the next ones? Or you want to just keep going?
Let's keep going.
All right. So let's go in reverse order of importance. Let's do Fantastic Four. So retro. That would be my take. It's like they brought the car, the Fantastic car, on stage.
Ah, okay.
And it looks very Jetsons. It looks very old.
Okay.
And then the cast, you know, comes out. They showed a little bit of footage. The only thing I noted really from the footage was at the very last shot, you see like the eyes of Galactus apparently looking through like a building at them. Other than that, listen, it's still pretty early in the process. But you know, there was a lot of conversation. I will say this: there's a shot of the four of them not in costume. And I will say the way they've got Joseph. I don't know Joseph Quinn as an actor that well, but the way they've got his hair cut and like his face when he's pretty much bald or like with a little bit of buzz, almost like Chris Evans' version of Johnny Storm back in the day, not the one in Deadpool. He does look related to Vanessa Kirby. I was like, if you look at the shot, they kind of look believable as siblings.
Brother and sister.
Yeah. I will say, Pablo, though, you continue to be on an island. I look at that photo. I'm sorry. I don't want this to come out wrong. I just don't buy Pedro Pascal as the smartest man in the world. I just don't see it in the photo.
We shall see. I still have faith.
So that's what they...
I think he's just a brilliant actor. That's what I think. And I think he can do it. But we shall see.
So they gave a little bit of a teaser, did that. But really that thing was this idea of 60s. They're really, you know, it almost the themes they seem to be pushing was almost kind of like WandaVision in a different way. Maybe those first couple episodes were like old school TV. Like this felt a little bit like that. Like we really want you to know this is a period piece.
So you believe the visual aesthetic of it with regards to color palette, lens being used, that sort of style, you think?
Yeah, I would not be surprised if
that would be interesting
to
see
whether the earthbound stuff will have sort of a vintage look. And then even space, I mean, if you think about it, in the 60s here, there was a lot of space, right? 2001 is a 1968 movie. It Lost in Space was on TV. So, you know, Star Trek is in the late 60s, the original series. So I don't know if they're actually going to go for something that sort of looks like a modern version of that appearance, but it wouldn't surprise me. It really feels like they want to push that as a theme.
Again, I'm going to reiterate my distaste for wanting to get Galactus back in the fold and this version of the Silver Surfer.
But that's changing now, right? Isn't there a rumor she's out already?
Well, it's more like not that she's out, but it's like it's a one and done.
Oh, she's only doing this movie?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, because I saw that, the rumor. Yeah, okay. Which is also weird. So
Because I think it's only meant for this. And again, it sort of sounds like a redo of the Rise of the Silver Surfer, really. Like, what is she going to do? Is she going to thwart Galactus's attempt at destroying, consuming the Earth?
Well, that makes me suspicious that Norrin Radd is going to be at the end of this movie then, right? Doesn't it? If she's one and done, doesn't it make you think that, like, she's not the real surfer? She's like the prelude surfer, and then the real surfer is out there?
I don't know.
Or they're just, maybe he's not in the movie, but they're holding him back, and he is going to be.
Certainly they're holding him back.
He's coming. Like, he's like,
the, yes. Yeah. I hope to see Zen-La, and because Zen-La, if you go back to, I don't know the comics, but in the cartoon, Zen-La is a one and done sort of, I would say, utopia of a world that you only see once and is whisked away as a punishment.
Right.
So I don't see why they couldn't go that route, Brian. They shouldn't. I don't want to be earthbound all the time. Why?
Yeah.
We did this with Guardians of the Galaxy. We went to a sort of Earth, right?
Yeah.
But it wasn't Earth. We knew that it wasn't Earth. And That's what I want to see. I want to see different places. I don't see why they can't do that. Why I got to be Earth?
Yeah.
So this comparison to Rise of the Silver Surfer, the only difference is that we're going to probably see Galactus this time.
Yeah.
And that's my concern. Let's see.
Yeah, I agree.
What's next?
So they had Thunderbolts gather on stage. They showed a teaser. I didn't really garner a lot from that. It was some good banter and humor. David Harbour showed up in costume. No one else did. And he's like, guys, didn't you get my email? We're all going to dress up. That was pretty funny. But I still felt like, I felt like even in the not seeing all the presentations live, but just kind of feeling the progression of these presentations, Thunderbolt still feels to me like the small scale, you know, kind of relative of all this, right? It's like they had Cap 4 before it, they had Fantastic 4, and then the Avengers and RDJ after it. And kind of is like, you're not really doing a good job of making me feel like this is a big deal. And that's still how I felt after the panel. And I did not see that a particular teaser for this, but I think the task is very tall for this to be relevant. And like, you know, like I'm hearing, I forget her name, the actress who played Ghost in Ant-Man 2. And like, she's going through like, oh, here's where we find Ghost. And I'm like, does anyone care where we find Ghost? Like, I don't care. It was a forgettable character the first time around. Why do I care? Like what you're up to now? Like, it's just like, you're filling a roster spot, man. It's like, you know, then Cap 4. So Cap 4, they obviously built it around Harrison Ford, who kind of hammed it up on stage and pretended to Hulk out on stage and all that sort of thing. But they added something, and it's interesting. I saw the trailer for Cap 4 in front of Deadpool and Wolverine, and it's slightly different than the one that's online. There's like a little bit different
beat.
A couple more shots of Isaiah Bradley like fighting in his in his attack scene, and then there's a little bit more dialogue throughout the course of the trailer with Sam Wilson and Ross, and then in this they added a line that basically says that Ross's the thing he's selling Sam on is to reassemble a new cast of Avengers, which I think was an interesting omission from the online trailer, you know, which is sort of obviously makes that movie a little more probably central to what's going to happen in Doomsday and Secret Wars. But the way it was phrased made me kind of feel like, who exactly are you calling here? You know, it's like, we kind of have talked about this of the existing Avengers we have. There aren't that many exciting names right now. So was that a hint that like maybe there's some cameos in Cap 4 to be on the lookout for that might set the stage for Avengers 5 and 6? But anyway, I thought that was a notable reveal that they put in the Comic-Con footage.
Here's the thing, Brian. They're going to go off nostalgia. Because again, Captain America is not in a world where we meet regular dudes. Right. We're talking about we're having discussions and meeting interesting people, important people, Brian. This to me sounds like sort of a recruitment task that he's on.
Yep.
And along the way, he's going to get into some adventures with some of these individuals.
And it would have to be a setup, though, right? Because Ross, if Ross is going to be Red Hulk, he's not on the side of justice in this case. So he presumably is tasking him with this in part to then destroy the Avengers from the inside, no?
It could be corny enough that he just... I don't know if he's going to be conscious of what he's doing. I think he turns into the Hulk, and this is just the ramification.
Okay.
He's just the Red Hulk. He doesn't know what he's doing when he's the Red Hulk. He's just the Red Hulk,
okay.
I think. I don't think they're thinking it that deeply where the Red Hulk is thinking about having monologues. You know what I'm
okay.
saying?
Yeah, okay, so, fair. Okay.
So that's where I'm thinking they're going with it.
But they've, I don't know, they've made Ross seem pretty sinister in the trailer. I mean, he doesn't come across as on the side of good. You know, where he's kind of like, work with me, Sam. And then he's kind of giving him that funny look in the before Isaiah kind of attacks him. The implications are he's not on the right side of this, I think. So I would assume his motives for wanting the Avengers reassembled are not for the protection of the world.
Yeah.
But like I said, when you connect it to Kevin's other commentary about not everyone gets to be in these movies, I think it suggests to me that this recruitment is not limited to, you know, the Shang-Chi's and the Captain Marvels and the Miss Marvels of the world.
Mm.
So
we'll wait and see. It is a big, there is a bit of curiosity as to who he will go seek assistance from or seek to collaborate with, right? And how he goes about convincing them, right? If he's set with this task and has to get it done, I don't know. Interesting. Let's see, Brian. Because, hey, this has been, and I will get to Mr. Kevin Feige talking about Blade. They want to make the right movie. They want to be sure that they're making the right movie. This movie doesn't, if you look at its the timeline of this movie and its production time and all the stuff that's gone on behind the scenes, they don't know if they have the right movie. Perhaps they feel a little bit better about this one, but still not sure. They're probably numb. It happens.
Yeah.
When you become numb to it and you'll be like, you know what, just this is good enough. Let's see, Brian. Let's see if this is good enough.
So I think that ties to the last point I would make about the panels, which is things like Blade, things where there's been a lot of questions and uncertainty as to what's going on. This presentation left all of that untouched. No clarifications, no real timeline commitments on other things. It really just focused on these select few projects that are... So I wouldn't... If you're a Blade fan, I don't think you walk out of Comic-Con feeling any better about its prospects or that it necessarily is going to shoot this fall. They didn't announce a director. You know, like there's just nothing. So it's just like these other projects that are in limbo are still in limbo. And maybe D23 is what they're banking on to address some of that later this year. But it is notable in my mind that there were zero updates on things like that.
Yes or no question. Give me a timeline. Does Mahershala Ali do this movie?
No.
Timeline?
For him dropping out?
In terms
out.
Of, yes.
I would say by January 1st. Because if it doesn't shoot this fall again, I mean, he already shot the new Jurassic World movie.
Oh, okay.
Or he is shooting it now. Actually, he is shooting it. Sorry, he is shooting it now because I actually got a saw thing the other day. They just moved locations. Mm-hmm. So he's shooting that now. His schedule, which means his schedule's still open to shoot Blade this fall, which is what they're targeting. But they don't have a director. The thing's getting rewritten again. I think if this latest attempt does not lead to an actual movie getting shot in front of the camera, I think he officially is off the part as of next year. I mean, he's, like I said, he's about to be a co-lead in what sounds like a pretty intriguing Jurassic Park reboot with a pretty high profile cast and great director and great writer.
Who's directing?
Gareth Edwards.
Ah, okay. They must have pissed him on a hell of an idea.
So, well, they got the original writer. The guy who wrote the first Jurassic Park is writing this one. Came back to write
okay.
this. You know, you got ScarJo, you got him. I mean, you got heavy hitters on that. And I'm saying, like, if this comes out and it's good, the movie's going to make $1.5 billion. It will, because dinosaurs sell. And, like, if that happens and he's the co-lead of a franchise like that, why is he? He's not gonna bother with Blade. Not after all this.
No.
And then they just. I guarantee you, he is not happy about Deadpool.
Hell no! I mean, why would you, man?
The double whammy of the way Snipes says it, and then Ryan Reynolds looking in the camera like that. I don't care if that's in jest. That's still shots fired.
Yeah, man. It's like you're being roasted, but you know the feeling. You know, like, you know, it touched you.
Yeah.
You know, and not in the right way. So I wouldn't. I'd be like, yo, I ain't doing this, man.
Do you think he does it?
No, and I think. I don't know how soon. I mean, I know right now he's emotional. Maybe. I would be a little bit like, haha, right? You know, and we still don't got a director. We still rewriting this joint. It's been 5. There's just too many things that you can point to be like, yo, enough is enough, yo. You know, this is not where I need to be right now. You know, and they're trying to push this replacement on me. You know what I'm saying? And I haven't even, so it's like, for what, yo? For what? Brian, before we end this, so no Superman trailer. Is it over?
Not yet. What's that?
Is SDC
is it over? No, it'll still be going through tomorrow.
Are there any big announcements planned for DC?
None that we know. I mean, they've already put out. They already did like Penguin and Creature Commandos. There's more TV stuff that they put out there. So no, not yet. And they obviously didn't put one in front of Deadpool and Wolverine. So we'll see. Okay.
But all right. But you said that there is an event coming up for.
Well, there's supposed to be a DC event at some point this year, and then there's this Christopher Reeve Superman documentary in September.
Okay.
Which also, yeah. I'm just.
Okay.
I have no basis. I was simply pointing out that it would not surprise me if they looked at the calendar and a company that is hemorrhaging cash and just lost the NBA is might want to get some footage out there of their new flagship franchise.
Wow. That's a separate show right there. That's an interesting show. That's a business show right there. We gotta do.
Yeah, I think you're whether it's the IP or the entire company, I think 2025 will be a fulcrum year for David Zaslav and WB. I think that it's hard to imagine that they can continue on the path they're on. I'm not an analyst. The hits to the body that they're taking as a company, where the stock is, the cash, the debt load they're carrying, they're running out of time. So things like, will you sell DC, are calls that David Zaslav, I believe, would take. That of 2 years course. Ago, he would have hung up the phone immediately.
If I was Apple, if I was somebody in Amazon, if I was any of those dudes, I'd be making that phone call.
If it's anyone.
Hell yeah, because they'll know August 1st.
Like, that's the thing. What do you think they're doing with that? That thing is the definition of like a trial run for what they really want.
Prediction. After the first 2 weeks after the release of August of the Batman Cape Crusader on August 1st will be a telling tale as to what Amazon has and what they potentially can have.
Yeah. To be clear, I don't think Amazon, this is just my opinion, I don't think Amazon has interest in all of Warner Brothers. But I think Amazon would make the call to buy the IP.
And yes,
and we can have another show about that because they're doing it in a lot of ways. Like on the fantasy, like swords and sorcery side, they are very quietly building an empire. Like they have Lord of the Rings, they have Wheel of Time. There's a bunch of these books that I don't read. These like, you know, very popular bestsellers among teenagers, among like all age demographics, women also. Amazon has the rights to all of them. They're optioning all of them as shows.
Wow.
They are built. So like they're empire building in genre. Mm-hmm. And things like Caped Crusader are clearly like the prelude to a grander design, which is why they did business with Sony even. They were like, we don't care. We can do this. Like we can put the Amazon label on all things Spider-Man, all things Batman, all things DC, and we can make it bigger. That's the best.
Yeah. That, I mean, I've been talking about that for a long time already. It ain't going to probably be $100 billion, but it'll be a big number.
So back to whether we see a Superman trailer. I still think it's sooner rather than later. Whether it happens this week. I mean, I was guessing this week could be the earliest you would see it, but I still think it happens sooner rather than later.
All right. Yeah, let us know in the comment section below what you guys think of some of the announcements that's been some of the announcements that's been had regarding Marvel, Doom, Robert Downey Jr. Also, yeah, let us know in the comment section below what you guys think of the announcements Marvel has made. RDJ being Doom. You can't say enough of what we were, you know, what we already said. And most people are saying, Brian, most people don't like this. But obviously, Robert Downey Jr. Wants to take on a role and do something different. And it is totally believable. And I think that is how it went down. He told Kevin or spoke to whoever. I said, if you want me back, this is what I'd like to do. And they're like, yeah, I mean, we're bringing the Russos back. We're going to bring everybody back because the gang you got right now cannot get you to the promised land. I'm sorry.
Nope. I don't think you get them to the playoffs. Playoffs? So you said most people aren't going to like it. If we parse the audience, the nerds, people like us.
Yeah.
I think that's what you're talking about, generally.
Yeah.
I want to draw that line between the casual audience that got on board for the Endgame ride. What do they think about it? Are they excited because it's RDJ back in a Marvel role? Like RDJ, Marvel villain. Does that get the casual person interested? Because that's what gets you to $3 billion, $2 billion, right? It's not the hardcore fans.
Regardless of the fact, Brian, this is a fact. RDJ brings the bucks. This dude could have came back as anybody.
I agree with that.
People were going to be excited and see what he does next with this, yeah, right?
I agree. I think I actually think the artsy critics community will hate this. Hate it. Because I think they're going to say he spent way too long playing Tony Stark when he could have been doing roles like Oppenheimer. And we got the role in Oppenheimer. He wins the Academy Award. And what does he do with this newfound fame and notoriety? He goes right back to the MCU. So I actually think it's going to be this separation of different fan groups who are either intrigued or
there's gonna be factions. There's gonna be factions. But I think overall, I think the majority of all the factions is a negative sentiment towards this.
And I think if you see the first footage of Doom, and if he comes off as just like he's riffing on the Tony Stark we know and love, I think everyone will be out.
I'm out now. But I'm going to see. I'm going to be, you know how people like, there's a crowd forming. You just peek around to see what's happening, you know, and you just walk away.
No, exactly. No, right? this type of stuff right now, because we're in like the rubbernecking crowd. We're in the like, let's see the smoke coming up from the wreckage. You slow down. If it's big enough, you slow down, right? Like, what's going on over there? There's a lot of sirens. There's a lot of bad stuff that happened.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's kind of where we're at. Now they gotta tell us that what we're driving past is actually not wreckage, that it's actually salvage. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, let us know what you guys think of all the Marvel updates, and we'll see you next time on the Ninja Report. The show goes on.